It's the last live broadcast of 2011. Man, this year has not flown by at all. Hey, welcome, Truth Seekers. Welcome, America. Good evening, Mr. and Miss America and all the ships at sea. It is I, Brad Friedman, here live tonight on your Mike Malloy Show, broadcasting one more night in 2011 from the left coast, the beautiful studios of K-Talk AM 1150. My last chance, apparently, to be live on the air up in the Bay Area on Green 960. So glad you folks are listening, because after, well, no, let's see, Monday, Mike Malloy will be back, and he's specifically coming back to broadcast live on Monday, since after Monday, the Clear Channel affiliate up there in one of the nation's most progressive cities, San Francisco, will be changing around their schedule, bringing on Glenn Beck. Yes, you heard me correct. Bringing on Glenn Beck, and then moving the terrific morning show, Stephanie Miller, from whose studios I'm broadcasting tonight, moving that morning show to 7 to 10 p.m., followed by Tom Hartman's morning show. That'll be broadcast at 10 to 1 a.m., and then Mike Malloy will be in the middle of the night from 1 to 3 a.m., losing one of our hours. Just in case you're wondering where we are next week, that's what happens in the Bay Area in San Francisco next week. Okay? Now you know. And if you don't care for that idea, I spoke with the folks at Green 960. They say they always love hearing from listeners. So be polite and let them know what you think. But in any case, tonight we are live in Sam Clam's Disco and in Oakland and coast to coast and around the globe, of course. And it is I, Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow from bradblog.com, occupying your public airwaves as the year finally comes to a close. And no, we're not going to do one of those best of broadcasts where we go through the year, review all of our stories from the year. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But we've got real news. We've got real news going on because we are just days away now from the very first vote. Unbelievably, finally, the very first vote being cast up in Iowa at the caucuses. And we're going to bring you up to date tonight on the very latest moment, the very latest breath, the very latest tear that is flowing in Iowa tonight. Tone, do we have any live audio from the goings-on in Iowa tonight? There we go. Step right up. Cast your vote here. Cast your vote at one of 1,774 caucus sites around the Hawkeye State. Yes, come near, come far. All right, we got the... That's going to be next Tuesday night in Iowa. It is already a circus. It has been a circus now for months. All right, you can knock it off, Tone. Take it off. All right, there we go. That's the Iowa call. And all right. And they're already starting to cry out there. This is incredible. You remember last year, not last year, 4 years ago, we had the Iowa caucus, and Barack Obama won the Iowa caucus. Oh, wait a minute. Before I even get into it, I have to give some business. Okay. See, I always forget the business. Stop on by the bradblog.com chat room. Everyone's in there. Everyone's doing it. Come on by and say hello, including Desi Doyen, who's going to be joining us, I hope, a little bit later in this show, along with some other friends. For Earth is in there. So stop on by bradblog.com. Go to the top item there. Click on through to the chat thing, you'll see it, and come on by and say hello. Okay, there's that, and then there's the phone number that you're going to need tonight, 877-520-1150. Going to try to get to as many calls as I can tonight, maybe even here in the first hour, so come on in, 877-520-1150. Come on in, the water's fine, join the Mike Malloy Show and the Iowa Caucus Circus that is now underway. Coast to coast and around the globe right here on the Mike Malloy Show. Okay. 877-520-1150 is our phone number if you'd like to get in. anything you'd like to talk about, we'll take it. We'll take it. I got a lot of... I woke up this morning and realized that last night, if you heard last night's show, it was pretty intense. It was pretty... I detailed exactly how the Republicans are trying to keep you from being able to cast your vote. And claiming that it has something to do with voter fraud, and it does not. It has nothing to do with voter fraud. It has everything to do with keeping you from voting. And if you disagree with me, feel free to call in at 877-520-1150. And I proved that last night by pointing out that up in Iowa, where they have the Republicans actually set all the rules for their own caucuses, they are not requiring anybody to use a photo ID to vote. Not only that, you can register and vote on the same day. No photo ID necessary across the 774 caucus sites up there in Iowa, where they will be, where the voting will be. Tony, up in Iowa next week, where the voting will begin in. Too late. Forget it. You blew it. You missed it. Anyway, so they don't care, because if it was about voter fraud, of course, they would require photo ID, wouldn't they, in their own elections where they set the rules, particularly in Iowa, where the Republicans earlier this year had voted for photo ID for everyone else in the House. But no, when they get to set their own rules for their own caucuses in the Iowa caucus, there is no, all right, there is no need for photo ID. Anyone can step right up. And... anyway, so I pointed that out, and I told you about all the disenfranchisement going on around the country, and it was pretty intense. And then we had an hour with occupiers here from L.A. occupiers talking about the torture that they went through after being arrested at City Hall. And I don't use that word lightly, torture. They were tortured. Tortured, held for hours on a bus, forced to urinate on themselves, pass out, vomit on themselves. I'm not kidding. It was horrible. It was a good show, but it was pretty horrible, pretty intense. So tonight I thought, well, let's lighten it up a bit. Let's hear from you with things that are on your mind and things that are on mine. I got a lot of things in front of me, but I would love to hear from you. 877-520-1150. And so what I started to point out was 4 years ago at the in the Iowa caucus, Barack Obama ended up winning that that caucus when there was a Democratic caucus back in 2008. This propelled him. This was his momentum, and he was thought to be the favorite going into New Hampshire. And everyone said he was going to win. All the polls before the election said he was going to win New Hampshire. And then the voting happened. And the exit polls that day said that Barack Obama was going to win New Hampshire. And then we got the results on paper ballots they use up there. But other than the 40% of the towns that use hand-counted paper ballots, where Barack Obama ended up winning, the other 60% of the towns use Diebold optical scan machines, programmed, sold, maintained by a company up there with a criminal background by the name of LHS. And what do you know? Hillary Clinton won. And at the time, instead of saying, well, you know, maybe we should check the ballots, maybe we should count them by hand to find out whether they were accurate or not, everybody said, well, no, all the pollsters got it wrong. No need to check the voting machines. The pollsters just got it wrong. What do we attribute this to? Well, we attribute this to it was maybe because Hillary Clinton sort of got a little teary a couple of days before the voting. It was, I think, on Saturday or Sunday before the Tuesday election. She teared up a little bit, and for some reason this made everyone want to vote for her. Okay. But only in the districts where they use the Diebold optical scan paper ballot systems. Well... we're going to talk a little bit about New Hampshire a little bit later in this show, because New Hampshire is coming up as well in a few days, January 10th. So this is my last chance to be on air with you before New Hampshire. So I'm going to be joined in the second hour with Bev Harris is going to stop by from Black Box Voting. She and I both worked very closely on that New Hampshire election back in 2008 and the subsequent recounts that had to occur, given all of the anomalies. So we're going to find out if things have gotten any better in New Hampshire in 2012. That's next hour. But I wanted to point out that as we're driving over here, apparently all the Republican candidates looked back at what happened in 2004 and they said, hey, this crying thing really works. So the first one out of the box today to start crying, I think, was Rick Santorum, as I recall. He started crying when it was Newt Gingrich. He was talking about his mother, and you heard this, Tony. He was talking about his mother. He started to get all teary-eyed. He started to cry. A few hours later, Rick Santorum was talking about his family. He started to cry. And then just an hour or two before we came over here, I haven't been able to confirm this, but I saw this on the Twitters where, oh, yeah, you can tweet me at the Brad Blog. I forgot to give that out. I'm the Brad Blog. There, follow me there. Tweet me. Say hello. So one of the folks I follow said that they were at a Romney event, and he said he actually stopped himself and said, well, I'm not going to cry. So we've got three different candidates days before the Iowa caucuses who are crying during events. And so that is the type of circus that this has now become. Sorry, I'm a little giddy. My point was last night was pretty intense. Tonight, we're just going to have some fun and see what happens and hear from you guys. I do have plenty to talk about. Some of it is rather amusing. And, oh, yeah, by the way, in Iowa, in the Republican caucus, not only do you not need a photo ID, but you also, they're going to be using hand-counted paper ballots at the polling place. All the things you're not allowed to use in your election, that's what they're going to be doing in Ohio. Brad, in for Malloy. Stay with us.
Crying, crying, waiting, waiting, hoping, hoping you'll come back.
You can lean on me all night long. You can lean on me for the rest of the year. I am your friendly friendly blogger, Brad Friedman, and I'm drunk. I am drunk as a skunk. Not really. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, in for Mike Malloy, who will be back Monday, never fear. Even though it's a holiday Monday, he'll be back Monday, and I'm here tonight. You see, the Mike Malloy Show cares about you. Unlike all of the other shows you may have heard on the air today, those slackers putting on reruns, we are live tonight, bringing in the new year, sort of. And you can reach me at 877-520-1150. Yes, before I went to the break, you heard me correct. Though Republicans say that hand-counting paper ballots is the greatest fraud ever perpetrated on man, and yes, I've had actually one say that directly to me in Davidson County, Tennessee, a couple of years ago. When it comes to their own elections, they are now hand-counting all the paper ballots at all 1,774 caucus sites in the state of all right, you can stop. Turn it off. Yes, it's a circus out in Iowa. But they're counting hand-counted paper ballots in front of the people, in front of the voters. No photo ID necessary to vote. And you can even register for the first time and vote on the same day. You don't need any photo ID. So all of those things that they fight against for you and I and people who are not Republicans in their own caucus, they are willing to they do when they run their own elections, as they do up in Iowa in the caucuses only. It's not run by the state. They don't go by the state rules. They run by the party decides everything. How do they do it? They hand count paper ballots in front of everyone, the gold standard for democracy, and everyone who wants to vote gets to vote. This is, to me, the most alarming, remarkable, and I'm pretty jaded, but the most incredible piece of hypocrisy I remember seeing in, weeks and weeks, then, well, hours and hours. I'm just astounded, delighted by it, mind you. Delighted, that's how they say they're going to be counting ballots. But it is rather remarkable. It really is. Okay, I got much more remarkable for you. But let me see if I can get in a quick call here before we have to go to a break here. Susan in Tahoe, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Susan, what's up?
Well, great. Well, I loved hearing from you, Brad. And thank you for clarifying the situation with Green 960. I'm in Tahoe, but I usually live in Danville, the East Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been listening to the Quake and then 960,
mm-hmm.
Green 960, since I think 2004, as much as I can. And I am just shocked and now grieving about the program change by Clear Channel. I can't believe they would bring Glenn Fleck in. Do you know the reason?
Well, they haven't given an official reason, per se. I mean, there's some dots we can connect. They own Glenn Beck's show. It's distributed by Premiere, which is a Clear Channel operation. So that could have something to do with it. It is, some have speculated. It's the first, business day of the year. Suddenly they're moving progressives off the air in San Francisco, the most progressive city in the country. By a company, Clear Channel, which is owned by Bain Capital, which is founded by Mitt Romney. So make of that what you will. I don't know that there's any evidence that that's why they're doing it, but who knows? This is what this is all we have. Susan, I got to get to a break. Thanks for the quick call, and now you know what's happening. Let them know your opinion out there. Brad in for Mike Malloy. Much more ahead.
You're going to love this. Just love it.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
Yeah, I do.
I got the feeling that something ain't right.
It never is.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair.
I am not scared.
I
might fall off my chair, though.
Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Stuck in the middle with you for just a few more hours right here on the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen investigative journalist, blogger, troublemaker, muckraker from bradblog.com, live with you on New Year's Eve, taking your calls. Before we head into the New Year's weekend, and then we head into, presidential election 2012 with the very first caucus, the very first vote being cast. Step right up. The Iowa caucuses, January 3rd. We can't wait to hear from you. Will it be Ron Paul? Will it be Mitt Romney? Will it be Rick Santorum or Michelle Bachmann? Ron Paul, never heard of him. Step right up. Cast your votes on a paper ballot. No photo identification necessary. All right, knock it off. 877-520-1150 is our phone number. And that's the kind of mood I'm in tonight. By the way, stop by bradblog.com, where we have our chat room up and rolling. Everyone seems to be giddy in there as well. And let's see, Clear Channel took Dixie Chicks off the air. That's right, Clear Channel took Dixie Chicks off the air in 2004 for Bush comments. Inside Out News is going to be covering Occupy Rose Bowl, the Occupy the Rose Parade, which is happening on Monday. And here we go. LA Weekly says, the Rose Parade's octopus float is 70 feet of awesome. I should say, Occupy the Rose Parade's Octopus Float is 70 feet of awesome. So you can look forward to that on Monday. We are waiting to see whether the corporate TV outlets are going to be broadcasting it over these, our public airwaves, or not. Okay, what else do I got to do? That's it. Let's go to some phones. 877-520-1150. Both Bev Harris and Desi Doyen are going to be joining us in the next hour. Ernie Canning a little bit later. Going to try to get in your calls all night. And maybe even, oh, MSNBC picked up the story that we ran on Wednesday at Brad Blog about the fact that Newt Gingrich committed massive voter fraud. At least what Acorn was described as being voter fraud when they did it. It wasn't voter fraud, however, at all when Acorn did it. And yet that's what Newt Gingrich called it when they did it, when they had registration fraud by some of their workers who were defrauding them. But when Newt Gingrich submitted 1,500 fraudulent signatures in Virginia to get on the ballot in Virginia, in his home state, unsuccessfully, by the way. He didn't have enough signatures, but 1,500 of them were fraudulent. He just described it as, oh, just a mistake. So Chris Hayes on MSNBC picked that up last night. Maybe we'll play some of that audio in a bit. But let's get to your calls. James in Cloverdale, California. There you are. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, James. What's up? Oh, James. All right, you're back on hold. Let's go to Derek in Rincon, New Mexico. Hey, Derek. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Hey, Brad.
How are you, sir?
Good. Mike said we have to be really nice to you, so.
He said you had to be nice to me?
Yes. Everybody who calls. Yeah.
To hell with him. Don't listen to him at all.
Listen. Yeah. Listen, I heard you on Mike Papantoni the other day. What's his deal, man? I mean, somebody calls in and says the National Defense Authorization Act, and this is horrible legislation. You might as well take the Constitution, tear it up, throw it in the garbage. And Mike Papantoni says, oh, don't worry about it. It's a small thing.
Well, I didn't hear that, and I guess he was sitting in for Ed Schultz the other day.
Well,
and,
yeah, well, that's just as bad. I mean, it's like listening to Sean Hannity with the Republicans. It's the same thing with the Democrats.
Well, now, wait a minute. No. I'm going to disagree with you here, and not to defend either Ed or Mike, but let me give you my take on it. You may think I'm as bad as Sean Hannity. Here's the deal on that the National Defense Authorization Act. Basically, what it does is... what it does is not restrict the power that the president, be it George W. Bush or Barack Obama, has already asserted that they have. In other words, both Bush and Obama have felt they can hold people, whether they're terrorists from foreign nations, whether they're Americans, indefinitely and without charges. They have done so they haven't done it in United States borders, but they have both asserted they can do damn near anything they want because they're president of the United States and they've been given the power via the authorization for use of military force bill back in 2001, just after 9/11. Now, so they have asserted they can do that. And Barack Obama went further than George Bush by actually targeting an American citizen for assassination and then assassinating that American citizen without any due process whatsoever.
Yeah, Milwaukee. He's from Las Cruces, right, which is 30 miles from where I live.
That's right.
Okay.
So that's what he has already asserted he can do. The Congress did is not stop the president, or rather the executive branch, from doing that. Essentially, they're allowing the status quo to continue, and they've even encoded some of it in law. But so... I don't know. I didn't hear what Pap had to say about it or anybody else.
It was no big deal. It was a small thing. And I'm really getting sick of these people who supposedly are fair and they're not being fair when Barack Obama is doing worse and even more at a faster pace and the same things, and they keep defending him and defending him, and they just kind of brush these things off like
well,
they're nothing.
No, okay. Well, I hear you. And I mean, I'm not going to get into what they said or didn't because I didn't hear it. So, and I don't mind blasting either of them, even though I like them both personally, but I didn't hear what they said. So that with that said, all I can say is, it kind of isn't that big a deal in that it's not it doesn't really change the status quo from what we already have. So, does that make sense?
So basically, the military, the way this bill is written, can come in and arrest anybody who's accused of being a terrorist and detain them indefinitely without charge.
Right.
So you might as well just take the Constitution and just pass it.
That's right. It's horrible, isn't it?
How can you defend? How can anybody defend
it? I'm not defending it at all.
No, you're not. I'm just talking about these other people that supposedly...
Well, again, I'm not going to go into what they said because I didn't hear it.
Okay,
but if they said it's no big deal, they might have been saying kind of what I'm saying, which is, well, you know what? It's no big deal in that it doesn't change the status quo. This crap, this nonsense, this idiocy has been going on for years now.
I think it's ratcheted up a couple notches, dude.
All right. Oh, I hear you. I don't know if it has or hasn't, but I'm not disagreeing with you.
So we need you, and we need Mike, and we need Mike Fetter, because we're the only, you guys are the only ones on board that are, like, looking this objectively.
Well, thanks. And you know, for my part, and I don't know Ed that well, I know Mike a little bit better. He's a pretty tough guy. He doesn't put up with crap. So I didn't hear the context that this was in.
Like, he's attacking Democrats too much.
All
that's my complaint.
All right. I hear you.
Okay.
Complaint registered. Thanks, Derek. Happy New Year to you, my friend. All right, let me go to Annie in, San Francisco. Got to get in San Francisco calls before they don't get to call anymore because Mike Malloy isn't aired live there anymore as of next Tuesday. So now, Annie, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show live in San Francisco. What's up?
Thank you, sir. I'm a first-time caller, and what happened down here in San Francisco, although I live across the bridge in Marin, is KGO is a big favorite station here,
mm-hmm.
and Cumulus bought it.
Right.
And so a lot of our favorite hosts left, and we had one day's notice, and there was a protest down at the building, and people care passionately about certain left-leaning hosts, I guess. I'm not as well-versed in it as my mom and some other listeners, but anyway, they're going to be moving. A couple of the hosts are going to show up at 9:10 KNEW, and then that's going to become KKSF.
Right.
Anyway, it's interesting that you guys are having these staff changes, too. And, yeah, it would be a drag not to be able to call in live. This is a lot of fun, and it's nice being able to talk with you. So I don't know if anybody can do anything about it.
Well, what you can do, and you say you guys. I'm not actually – I don't work at Green 960, but I did cover it in great detail at bradblog.com as this was all happening. And originally, they were going to move all of the progressives off the air entirely in San Francisco, stick them onto this HD band, which nobody has ever heard of, nobody has any receivers, and they were going to move nothing but right-wingers onto 960. So it's a little bit better. They changed their plans after the other station, after KGO suddenly laid off everybody. So it's a little bit better in that there will still be progressives on the air in San Francisco on 960, but it'll be called KNEW, and they're going to delay most of them so that they can make way for both Glenn Beck and David Ramsey in the morning, who's this sort of right-wing financial guy. Oh, you don't, huh?
Sorry.
Oh, you're going to love him.
No, I've heard about him.
Oh, yeah, he's great. Listeners.
I'm new to your station, so I'm kind of switching over because there's no talk at KGO except from 9 to 12, and then the weekends they're having.
Well, we welcome you aboard at 960. Call them and tell them you'd like Progressive Radio to continue. And be sure, beginning next Tuesday, don't forget to wake up in the morning and listen from 6 to 9 your time to Glenn Beck. You're just going to love him. Him on the airways. He's going to be terrific on the new 960. All right, Annie.
Okay, do you have a show of your own? Because I like you so far.
Oh, you're kind. I don't. Well, I do a weekly show out here in Los Angeles, a very short show on Wednesdays. But other than that, come by bradblog.com. I'm there a lot, and I do a lot of radio and TV and stuff, and I try to post it there, and you can follow along there. Glad to have you.
Maybe you should talk to Carell, because that's what he was actually fired from KGO, but now he's real popular and has his own show. I don't know how he managed that, but
I don't
he came
either.
Back.
All right. Thanks.
Maybe you can be on KGO. Okay, bye.
A good idea. We'll talk to them. Thanks, Annie. Appreciate it. Have a great night.
Thank you.
And a Happy New Year. Okay, let's see. Do I have time for one more call? Should we take a quick break? No, let's take a quick break now. We'll come back to more of your calls, 877-520-1150. Desi Doyen is going to be joining us in the next hour, and we're going to try to keep going to your calls. And I got a lot of other stuff here to get to. If you don't want to call, that's fine, too, although I know a lot of you are hanging on the line. 877-520-1150. 1150. We are live. This is the Mike Malloy Show, the last one of the year. And we're glad you can join us. Brad Friedman in for Mike. Stay with us.
Where a man might find a bed. He just grinned and shook my hand. No was all he said.
Yes, we're saying goodbye for now to our friends in San Francisco on the great Green 960, which after Monday, when Mike Malloy will be back live on Green 960, after that things change and the Malloy Show sort of disappears into the middle of the night and you lose an hour and stuff like that. So we're glad and celebrating the fact that we are on live with you tonight up there in the Bay Area. My last chance before things change up there. In the election year, and so my last chance to be on with you live, Brad Friedman from bradblog.com, in for Mike Malloy, and let's get to some more calls. I have, before I go to the calls here, new poll from Pew Research Center for the people and the press out this week. The public's views of political terms, which one is the most positively viewed political term? I'll rank them from the bottom on up. Socialism is very negative, 60% negative, 31% positive. Then comes libertarian, then capitalism, then liberal. That's about tied with capitalism. Liberal and capitalism are about the same. Then conservative has 30% negative connotation and 62% positive. So that, you know, kind of supports the idea that you hear all the time from these Republicans that the United States is a center-right country. Because conservative is the most wait a minute. No, that's not the most popular. What do you know? Progressive only has 22 negative and 67% positive. So progressive is the most positively viewed political label in America. What do you know? It's not a center-right country. It's a center-progressive country. And our public airwaves ought to reflect that. But they don't. There's a bunch of right-wingers on most of your public airwaves. All right. James in Cloverdale, California. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Hey, what's up, James?
Yeah, well, so much for labels.
Yes, you know, yeah, so
I
much.
I was laughing about you and the caller named Annie.
Yeah.
You were promoting Glenn Beck. And I say, wow, he's selling Glenn Beck.
He's terrific. He's really wonderful. And I think a lot of the people who normally listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning, boy, are they going to be surprised come Tuesday morning when they get to hear Glenn Beck instead. It's going to be fun.
I've heard Glenn Beck a few times. But what you're underlining for me is that this – no point saying left wing, right wing, conservative. I'm conservative and I'm progressive.
Yep.
Why is there a contradiction?
There's not. There's not. There's only to the liars and frauds who don't understand and who have been brainwashed by Fox News and jackasses like Glenn Beck. There is the first progressive. The Progressive Party was formed by Republican Teddy Roosevelt. For crying out loud.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, Mr. Republican.
Yep.
They wouldn't have dreamed of these Republicans that we have today.
Right.
I'm a member of the Mike Malloy community. I'll still be in touch with Mike through that.
Good.
That if we can read that red website he has. My goodness, we got to give it to Ron Paul.
Was that a shot at Mike Malloy's website? Was that a shot at his website, James?
The red color.
Okay.
I can't hardly read that black on red.
I complained
to the webmaster, and he told me Mike liked that color red.
Okay.
So in any case, I just want to put that out.
Mike's always seeing red. So, yeah, I got
Mike,
you.
Mike, I can't read it.
Okay.
I can't read it, Mike.
All right.
But the point is, I would love to support Ron Paul.
Okay.
He's a presidential candidate. Foreign policy is the only thing the president really can affect anyway. All the rest is up to Congress.
Well, yes and no. As a matter of fact,
policy,
you know what? We're going to – I know I appreciate his foreign policy as well, but I think it's an overstatement to say that that's the only thing that the president affects. As a matter of fact, Desi is going to be joining us in the next hour. We're going to talk about some great victories at the EPA, and as we look forward to 2012, what this election could mean for things that you may or may not care about. Being a Ron Paul fan, you may or may not care about things like clean water and air that you can breathe without getting sick. I don't know.
I'm a progressive. Right. I'm a 960 fan.
All right.
I agree with what you're saying about right. the environment.
Thanks. Thanks, James. I appreciate your call, brother. I got to run. Have a happy new year, my friend.
Thank you.
You bet. Let's get to Jason up in Wisconsin. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Jason, I've only got a minute or so here, so what is on your mind quickly?
Thanks for taking my call,
sure.
Brad. I was just listening to you going on about the NDAA, and I just had a scary thought come to mind. You know, let's say that one of these Republicans gets elected mm-hmm. as president in November, and after he's sworn in and everything, how do I know that he's not going to use these powers granted to him by the NDAA to say? Go after progressive bloggers like you.
Yep.
We've clearly seen that they've shown
you don't. Right. Yeah, no, Jason, you don't know if that's going to be the case. And I don't mean to cut you off, only that I'm coming to a hard break here that I got to get out. But hang on, Jason. My point is, you don't know. And you should be concerned about that, as folks on the right should be concerned that someone like Barack Obama or anybody else who's a Democrat is going to come after them. But here's the deal. Both Barack Obama and George W. Bush have already said they have the right to do that. They believe that they do. And the Defense Authorization Act didn't change that, really, one way or another, other than encoding it into law, a law that they already felt they were able to do. Jason, I got to run. I appreciate your call. Yes, you should be concerned. Yes, you should be raising holy hell. Hang on the phone if you're on hold there. I'll get to you, and Desi Doyen will be joining us. Much more on the Mike Malloy Show straight ahead. Welcome back, truth seekers, to your Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow occupying your public airwaves coast to coast and, I should add, around the globe here tonight as we head towards 2012, incredibly enough, with the voting about to begin. Whether it's in Iowa or in who's next, New Hampshire, or any of the places where there we go, so it's gonna be a circus next year. Don't you worry, it already is. Are you kidding me? All right, knock it off, Tony. All right, we are gonna get back to your calls in a little bit, but we got a couple of items of business here. So don't call yet because I'm joined in the studio by Desi Doyen, who would otherwise be who would otherwise be answering your calls, but she's in here with me for a moment. Before I go to Des, though, I wanted to note, since I said coast to coast and around the globe, got a tweet from let's see if I'm saying this name right, Jean-Pierre Yves. How was that?
That's good.
Okay. Jean-Pierre Yves. Anyway, he tweets us. He says he's listening from his hotel in Paris.
Wow.
Where it is 3:41 a.m. I told you, coast to coast and around the globe. He said that the last caller, a couple of callers before we went to the top of the hour, was a plant. And I said, well, which one was a plant? He said the one who was complaining about Mike Papantonio and Ed Schultz.
Not as far as I know.
I don't think he was a plant. No. He was complaining because they were not tough enough, as the caller saw it, on Barack Obama. And he had a specific complaint, and I didn't hear what they had said in this case. It had to do with the National Defense Authorization Act. But the reason I brought this up, one, so you know, you can reach me on the Twitters at TheBradBlog, and you can also stop by the chat room over at bradblog.com, which is very lively tonight. I can't even keep up. It's so lively. But the reason I mention it is because, you know, there is this divide beginning to happen, Dez. Again, we saw this kind of back in 2008. You had sort of the Hillary camp and the Barack Obama camp, and, you know, none of them are democratic enough or liberal enough or progressive enough or too much or whatever. So now we're seeing a serious divide. People who are really getting behind Obama pretty much no matter what he does. They don't want to criticize him in any way because they think that this helps out Republicans. And then you've got folks on, you know, the other side, still on the non-right side of the aisle, you know, who want to be critical of the president, want to hold his feet to the fire. I happen to be one of those people, but I'm not one of the people who says that, you know, I'm very critical of Obama, but I'm also realistic about who he is, what he is, who he was when he ran, what he said he was going to do. And, you know, I'm bringing this all up because, once again, we're seeing this divisiveness, this split. You're either with us or against us. And if you criticize the president, oh, you're just making it easier for Republicans to come in, and don't you realize what you're doing? Well, you know what? I'm a journalist. It's my job to hold their feet to the fire, to hold everyone's feet to the fire. At the same time, you know, we had a caller last night, you recall, who said Obama promised he was going to end war, and look what he's done in Afghanistan. Well, no. When he ran in 2008, he said he was going to expand the war in Afghanistan.
Well, so sometimes people have maybe not necessarily the most accurate views of what he said during the campaign. But even then, regardless, I disagree with the notion that if you talk about these things, don't talk about it. Otherwise, the Republicans will hear. You know, I don't think that works at all. I think that we have a responsibility to speak up about these things. If we don't, no one will. And none of this stuff will change. Look at Occupy. They have changed the conversation. They have managed to shift the unshiftable media to talking about these issues.
They have entered into what had been a left-right paradigm in this country, and I should add a phony left-right paradigm in this country that mostly benefits folks on the right. That, you know, this left-right paradigm was created by the right, was created by the Republicans, was created by
because they're in the minority, but the minority is squeakier wheels, and we know the squeakier wheels get the grease.
And this was back in and the money. In the whole Southern strategy back with Richard Nixon and Pat Buchanan. Hey, let's divide the country along these lines, and we will end up with more voters than them as we divide the line. And, you know, and that's what we're stuck with more now than ever, and we shouldn't be. And so my point to say this.
And you do have one.
Yes, I do. My point is, as we head towards the end of the year, you know, it's not always with us or against us. That's George Bush thinking. Sometimes someone can disagree with you who might be on your side of the political fence, who is not a plant.
Who's not your enemy.
Who doesn't hate you, is not your enemy.
You mean we're all in this together?
That's what I kind of think. And that's, by the way, as long as you mention Occupy, that's what they've kind of figured out. They've cut across that. And they said, you know what? This isn't left-right. If anything, it's upper-lower, upper-middle class.
It's,
you know,
a class
that's separate.
Thing.
It's a class thing.
The 99% against the 1%.
Anyway, so with that out of my way, hey, Dez.
Hey, how's it going?
It's Desi Doyen, everybody. She is my my co-host on the Green News Report, which is heard on fine progressive radio stations around the nation. 6 minutes of what do I call it every time?
Politics analysis.
Independent. You don't even remember, do you? Independent.
It's been so
I
long.
Say it every single independent green news politics analysis
and snarky comment.
Right.
That's
you do
right.
The news. I do the snarky comment. Basically, we've been on a break this week, so we haven't. You and I haven't gotten to do much green news. But two points. We want to check in with some of our friends tonight. So I wanted to bring you in. Ernie Canning from the Brad Blog is going to be joining us later, as is Bev Harris later this hour. But since you and I haven't done a Green News Report this week, I wanted to catch up on what we've missed of late. And since it's our last show of the year, sort of thank you and look back at the year and forward to the next one as far as what we can look forward to in the green news coming up. So,
yes,
with all that that huge preamble, completely unnecessary preamble, what you got for us today, Des?
Well, first of all, you can follow us on Twitter at Green News Report.
Oh, there you go.
You can catch up on all of the archives of all of our shows at greennews.bradblog.com.
And I can think of no better way to spend the holiday weekend than
indeed.
That.
And lastly, before I get on to everything else, happy birthday to my mom. It's her birthday today. So,
okay.
Hi, Mom. Happy birthday. Love you.
Are you done with all your advertising?
I am done with all my stuff. Now we move on to, of course, the biggest environmental and energy news of 2011, of the year.
Of the last 20 years? Is this the one that I'm thinking
of?
Not yet.
That's not yet. We're going to get to that yet.
That's pretty huge.
EPA mercury rule. And
huge.
Yes, that is a huge deal. That is a major legacy
deal.
Let's do it now.
Because you've already brought it.
Okay, all right.
Because
this was huge. This is seriously good news.
And no one's talking about it. Because they're busy out in Iowa with that idiotic caucus going on down there. That's what they're doing instead.
Thanks,
all
Daddy.
Right, yeah.
This is pretty much good news for anyone and anything that breathes. So, you know, I have a feeling most of our audience will benefit from this.
Mm-hmm.
The EPA, after
most.
21 years of obstruction and delay, they finally established the first ever national standards to protect the public from toxic air pollutions. It's the Mercury and Air Toxic Standards. Always have those most clever names.
Now,
Mercury
this is
and air toxic standards.
And
rule.
This is more job-killing regulation by Obama's leftist socialist EPA who demanded...
This will actually create more jobs than are lost by closing all these dirty coal-fired power plants. It will actually save hundreds of thousands of lives every year. And, you know, the other part of it, like, you know, preventing neurotoxin, neurological damage in our children. You know, that sort of deliberate poisoning that's been going on all this time with the coal-fired power plants in our nation.
But that's what the leftist socialist like Obama, who enacted this law.
No, that's what the science says. What the science says.
But there,
all those things are myths. They can be proven. You can look it up. You can Google it. Yeah, there are studies, numerous studies, that show it will create more jobs than anything would happen if we closed all those power plants, and that it will actually help public health and save us a lot of money.
So when this law was signed by Barack Obama into law to limit the...
Doesn't work like that, but yeah.
What? He didn't?
No.
Who did?
Okay, so it started out in 1990.
What?
That's when President George Bush and a bipartisan Congress together made amendments to the Clean Air Act.
George Bush?
That was signed by George W. Bush, a Republican. I'm sorry, George H.W. Bush, Bush 41, back in 1990. Then, in 2000, the EPA, the Clinton EPA, went through all of the studies, all of the scientific evidence, and they said, you know what? You're right. Mercury is a hazard to public health.
So wait, this is a law? Not by the socialist, communist, left-wing job killer Barack Obama, but a law passed by George H.W. Bush 22 years ago?
Yes. Crazy, isn't it?
And, yeah, it is. I completely misunderstood. I was watching Fox News, and they told me a completely different story. So
amazing.
George H.W. Bush's law now goes into effect, limiting pollution from coal plants that have, up till now, some of them for 100 years.
There's a Chicago plant that's over 100 years old.
And they, up till now, had no pollution rules.
Had no federal pollution limits. Some states had instituted some pollution controls, but there's no federal standards. So that means that, you know, depending on where you live, you were getting lots of mercury pollution. And we know that we know for a fact that mercury is a neurotoxin. It causes neurological damage, irreversible neurological damage, especially in babies and children. That's why the FDA tells women of childbearing age and children should not eat tuna and other kinds of fish because of the high mercury contamination.
And yet, over the past year, the Republicans have tried to gut the EPA regulations 190 times? 191 times over the past year. Okay. More good news, maybe, with Desi Doyen of the Green News Report, right here. Stay with us. You're listening to Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. All right, welcome back. To your Mike Malloy show, Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, joined in studio tonight with Desi Doyen, or at least for one more segment here. Desi Doyen, my co-host and the managing editor, I should note, of the Green News Report, which you can, if you don't have it on your fine progressive radio station, check out greennews.bradblog.com. It ain't your, what's the way to put it, your hippie mother and father's Green News. How's that?
Okay. I guess that'll work.
All right.
But real quick, I just wanted to go back to that EPA mercury rule, the one that's we've been waiting 21 years to finally get in place after, you know, years of lobbying and lawsuits by 40% of the coal-fired power plants in the country that have not yet voluntarily installed all of these modern pollution controls. Back in 2005, the Bush administration EPA chose to reverse the scientific finding that mercury was hazardous and tried to instead say, hey, let's just do a cap-and-trade rule.
That was a Bush administration
cap-and-trade proponents who said, oh, let's let the most polluting power plants continue to pollute and let's let them pay off so they can keep poisoning people and just pay somebody else.
So just to clarify the math, you have George H.W. Bush, who passes this law, this lefty, socialistic, communist,
Bush
whatever, job-killing law, Bush the father, 20 years ago. Then Bush the son comes in and says, no, don't do this social, lefty, communist, anti-pollution law. Instead, do a socialist, commie, lefty cap-and-trade system to deal with the problem.
Yeah, they used to think that was a free market solution.
They don't feel that way anymore. That was in 2008.
And it's, of course, very important for the economy. They must be allowed to continue poisoning our children in order to keep the economy going. It's a sacrifice play.
You have a choice, Des. It's either kill jobs or kill the children.
Now, already...
Clearly, they've decided to kill the children.
Already, though, today, a federal judge has blocked one portion of this very complex rule that was issued by the EPA. That's the portion that deals with cross-state pollution. If you are one of the states unfortunate enough to be downwind from a coal-fired power plant, mm-hmm. you had no recourse. You could do nothing.
Right.
There was a new rule put in place that would help to prevent that from happening, give states some recourse to say, hey, stop blowing your pollution on me. And this judge has blocked that portion. But that's just for today. And we'll see what happens.
We'll see more on that
year.
In the coming year. Yeah. All right, so we have just a couple of minutes here. You had some highlights and lowlights from the past year and moving forward.
Yes. Well, of course, in the past year, we had, just to go very quickly, extreme weather disasters all over the entire world, floods, fires, drought, heat waves. And, of course, we had the Fukushima disaster, which I think brought all of these things together, the damage to mm-hmm. infrastructure and people from having both not the right kind of infrastructure in place to deal with the tsunami and the earthquake, and then, of course, with the nuclear disaster in Fukushima. We had the Keystone XL pipeline, which was a major news, and it also, I think, brought in how Occupy and all of the protests getting out there and
have made
and
a difference.
Making your voice heard has made a difference. Now, there's 60 days.
Yeah, now we're looking forward to, because they had actually canceled the Keystone to the route it was going to use to look at a different one, possibly. And now the Republicans in this payroll tax budget have said 60 days, Mr. Obama, you have to decide.
So we'll see what
we'll
happens.
Find out what
the
happens
State Department
if he's
says
going to
they
allow
are going
it
to be they will have to deny it if they have only 60 days. But we'll see if that actually comes
all
to
right.
pass. Also, just wanted to point out that 2011 was the record for billion-dollar disasters in the U.S. We had 12 extreme weather disasters costing
weather
more
disasters.
Than $1 billion each. Totally, they cost us $52 billion in 2011 to deal with these extreme weather disasters. We will be seeing more of these. This is what the scientists say is going to be our new normal.
And more heat, more rain, more moisture, all of flooding, drought all around the world?
Yes.
We've only got 30 seconds. So
I know. Well, just my last thing is look up solar paint. On Google, because we won't have time for it.
Solar paint?
Notre Dame University invented solar paint. Spreadable solar. It's sun-believable, they said.
Did they really say it?
Yes, they did.
Yeah,
okay, Notre Dame. Solar paint. Look it up.
Sun-believable.
We'll talk about more of that next year.
When? 2012?
Yeah.
I can't
wait
that long.
Tuesday.
All right. Oh, no, that's right. It's Tuesday. We're back on the Green News Report next Tuesday. Desi Doyen, the lovely Desi Doyen. Thank you, Des. And thank you for a great
Happy New Year, everybody. Happy birthday, Mom.
There you go. Thank you for everything you've done at Brad Blog over the past year. And now get back out there and answer those phones.
Bye.
Okay. All right. When we come back, Bev Harris of blackboxvoting.org is going to join us to tell us what, if anything, has changed since the nightmare primary of 2008 in New Hampshire, as we are now just days away from the nightmare primary of 2012 in New Hampshire. You're listening to Brad on The Molloy Show.
What is known, and the evidence is clear, I'm not alone, there are thousands of us here. This is my democracy, you won't go telling me, my vote don't matter anymore.
Yes, it does.
And it's not worth fighting.
Yes, it is, and we are fighting for your vote. If you choose to exercise it, that's up to you. But if you do, I think it ought to be—I think you ought to be able to do it without obstruction, and it ought to be counted and counted publicly. And so does my next guest, who's going to be joining me momentarily. Bev Harris from Black Box Voting will be here momentarily as we are speaking with some of our friends on this final day. Final Mike Molloy Show / Bradcast of the year. Mike will be back with you Monday. Until then, you got me, the investigative blogger, citizen journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow from bradblog.com. We're also going to be taking your calls certainly in the next hour, but maybe at the back end of this hour. If you want to start lining up now, you can at 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. Whatever's on your mind, these are your public airwaves. We'd love to hear from you. You can also tweet me at the Brad Blog or chat with all of us at bradblog.com, where the chat room is now open, lively and open. All right. Thanks, by the way, to Victoria Parks. I play that song all the time. My vote don't matter anymore. And I almost never get to give her thanks. So Victoria Parks wrote that song after the 2004 election. And I don't have her website. I think it's just victoriaparks.com. But do a Google search for her. She is great. And I do love that song. Okay. As I noted, we are just days away from the, here we go, the Iowa caucus. That's right. Step right up. The Iowa caucuses begin next Tuesday. Come one, come all. And actually, come one, come all is the slogan for the Republican Party. Incredibly enough, while they've been trying to make everyone else show a photo ID before being able to cast their legal vote when it comes to their own elections in the state of Iowa, they are not only not requiring a photo ID, but they're allowing you to register on the same day or change your registration from Democratic I think it's from Independent to Republican and vote on the same day, all things they don't want everyone else to do. No photo ID necessary to do any of that. Making matters even more interesting, all votes have learned in just the last day or two will be cast on paper ballots, and those paper ballots will be actually hand counted at all each of the 1,774 caucus sites right then there, right in front of all the voters. That is what we call the, at least what I call the democracy's gold standard, hand counted paper ballots. Publicly counted in front of the public right there at the precinct, in this case caucus sites, with results announced and posted at the precinct before the ballots move anywhere and before they're called in to the Republican headquarters next Tuesday. I think that's good news. We'll see if Bev Harris from blackboxvoting.org agrees, and we'll talk about as well the coming New Hampshire nightmare that will be just days later. Hey, Bev, welcome back to the Mike Molloy Show.
Well, it's always good to talk to you, Brad.
But great to have you here. Okay, just wanted to do a quick check-in to find out, you heard the news about Iowa, which I think is pretty good news. Were you able to look into those details? Am I missing anything on Iowa?
It really is good news, and it really is a very large deviation from what was done in 2008, which was quite secretive. And it seemed, you know, we have this way of fooling the public by using what I call the funnel, where it appears where you have all the people are involved in all kinds of ways, and then there's a choke point right at the end when all the votes get tallied up. Now, what you just described, that choke point is removed in Iowa. If that's how they conduct the election, that's how they should. What happened
because
in 2000?
Well, there was some concern until, and by the way, I'm relying on a report from Politico, Jonathan Martin over there, who got this information from the Republican Party's election director. There had been some concern that they would vote on paper ballots, which is all great, but then they would count it in secret, send it to the Republican headquarters, where they're counting at an undisclosed location, where they're tabulating all of these things.
Right. That's what they did in 2008.
Okay.
Yes.
But this is now different. They say they're going to count it at the caucus sites in front of the people.
Which is huge progress. Even to get lip service to that principle is really important.
Yeah.
And it's huge.
It is huge if in fact, they stick to it. But I think it's good news. People can track what the results should be at each and every caucus site around Iowa. And then when the Republican Party announces it, and they say they're going to announce the precinct totals, we can compare. People can check their own caucus and make sure that they got it right when it was released by the Republican Party. Okay, so for now, we'll chalk that up to potentially very, very good news. Hypocritical news, because Republicans don't want that for everyone else in general elections. But okay, I'll be positive tonight. It's the end of the year. Now, moving on, the following week, I think it's the 10th of January, we then have the first in the nation primary in New Hampshire. Now, 4 years ago, oh man, 4 years ago in 2008, Bev Harris, you and I went through a nightmare trying to, explain a little bit what happened in 2008.
Well, you know, in 2008, both parties had a candidate who requested a statewide hand recount, Dennis Kucinich for the Democrats, and a very small time candidate for the Republicans. Since then, by the way, New Hampshire has changed the law so that candidates cannot get a recount unless they achieve a very large portion of the vote.
They can't even pay for it if they want one?
No, after 2008, when we exposed the sham that recount really was, instead of correcting the things that made it a sham, they took recounts off the table.
This is amazing, because you had Dennis. Now, we should be clear. Hillary Clinton was announced the winner in 2008 of the New Hampshire primary. Barack Obama was close enough that he could have counted, hand counted the entire state for $2,000. But he chose to not do it. It fell to Dennis Kucinich, who filed a recount, had to spend like $60,000 of his own money, got a partial recount, I think about 40% or so of the ballots, found hundreds of mistabulations all across the state. That was on the Democratic side. And on the Republican side, you had this obscure Republican candidate, Albert Howard, who had filed his own recount. And we found similar miscounts, though I think they weren't as drastic as the ones we found on the Democratic side. Is that right?
Well, yeah, although the Republican recount there was pretty strange. For example, they had their own hand-picked set of counters, and they would at times take all the John McCain votes out of the pile and give them to their special set of counters.
What?
yes. So I think in some ways the results of the Republican recount were perhaps more suspicious even than Hillary's, although both of them really had fundamental breakdowns, fundamental procedural breakdowns that exposed weaknesses. I have to tell you something that happened then. It was really odd. After we had exposed all these weaknesses and shown how they were really tampering with the ballots before they were counting them is essentially what was happening, the Secretary of State, Bill Gardner, and I happened to be up in the state house after hours. Everyone had gone home. I was in his office, and he said the oddest thing to me. He sat down on the table and he said, "You know, they caught him in Maine." And I said, "What do you mean they caught him in Maine?" And he said, "Well, You see, the guy who was tampering with the ballots was smoking in the ballot vault, and it set off the smoke alarm. And it turned out it was the Speaker of the House and the Chief of Staff to the Speaker of House of the House in Maine tampering with the ballots prior to a recount.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I went back and confirmed that. It happened in about 1994 in that era. What I thought was so odd, though, was that here we had the Secretary of State of the state of New Hampshire privately telling me, well, you know, they caught him in Maine. Why would he have said that?
That's odd. And Bill Gardner, who is still the Secretary of State up there, he has been like for some 20 years or something, right? The Secretary of State?
About 35 years, I think.
35.
1976, yeah.
Through, and I think it's an appointed position up there, if I recall. And so he has been appointed by Republicans and Democrats alike.
In a secret procedure, yes. It's not open to the public.
Really? The appointment of the Secretary of State is a secret
Correct.
Procedure?
It's actually what it is the first act of the legislature in New Hampshire. They have a secret vote and a secret vote count where they supposedly vote for the Secretary of State, but I would refer to it as an appointment because nobody can see the counting of the votes. Nobody can see anything. It's just this behind closed door deal where they emerge and say, da da, here's the new Secretary of State.
Well, and a fish rots from the head down. I guess that's the way they choose him. So he figures that's good for everybody else. Let's count it in secret because they use paper ballots across New Hampshire. Now, 40% of the towns hand count their paper ballots. One of the few states that does this
as
widely. They hand count their paper ballots in front of all the citizenry, in front of the public on election night at the precinct, announce the results there before those ballots move anywhere else. But the other 60%, they have paper ballots, but they're counted on Diebold optical scan machines, which are programmed service sold by a company with a pretty criminal background, as you reported back in 2008, this company LHS.
Right. Yeah, it's a very interesting mix because another thing, two things that are very interesting about that. The hand-counted locations typically return the results faster than the voting machine locations,
which
gives a lie to the idea that, you know, you need these machines to speed up the count. And in fact, I encourage people to watch for that. The machine count locations are always the last one to submit results is always a machine count location.
Yeah.
The other thing that's interesting is that quite often, not just in New Hampshire, but in Massachusetts, we also saw in a recent election, the hand count locations will give a different result entirely than the machine count locations.
And that happened in New Hampshire where I think Obama won all of the hand count locations. Hillary Clinton won all of the machine count locations.
Well, it wasn't an all or none, but it certainly was
not all of, but
discrepant.
Right. Yeah.
And what was what's interesting in New Hampshire is you have hand count locations that are just as small and demographically identical right next to machine count locations. So it's not like there's the rural people
right.
and the urban people. They have this sort of patchwork where it's a pretty good comparison, particularly in Rockingham County, where if you get a difference in hand count versus machine count in Rockingham County, that is just pretty inexplicable. And that happens. It's one of the things, actually, for those who really want to monitor this New Hampshire election, one of the first things out of the gate is to compare whether there is a difference there. And by the way, another thing to look at, which happened in 2008, is what we call the unusual onesies and twosies and zerosies. Ron Paul had two locations in New Hampshire where he was reported to have had zero votes, but he actually had quite a significant number of votes. So anytime you get, these improbable zeros, jump on those. But that also goes for improbable ones and twos.
All right,
of course, Obama had, 80 locations
in
2008 in Harlem and elsewhere.
Hang on a second, Bev. I got to take a quick break. Bev Harris from blackboxvoting.org. Have a couple more questions for her, so stay tuned. Brad in for Mike Malloy.
And when he remembered Zion, about the way. Tuesday in November, I took that stroll to cast my ballot at the local poll. The lines were long, but I didn't care. I had water, I had in my folding chair, walked up to the booth, didn't say a word, sure that my voice would be heard. I hit that button, my vote was sent, but now nobody knows exactly where it went. They lost my vote.
Oh, man.
It isn't fair.
No.
I
care. That, by the way, that's Ellen Buxtel. We play that song a lot, too, on this show. Where did it go? Brad Friedman of bradblog.com on your Mike Malloy Show. Joined for another minute or two here by Bev Harris of blackboxvoting.org, as we are just days away from the voting finally beginning. After all of these years that this presidential election has been underway, it is finally about to begin with some pretty good news, in theory, up in the Iowa caucus, where they're going to be counting on hand-counted paper ballots. But back in New Hampshire, a few days later, January 10, paper ballots that in most of the state will be counted by Diebold optical scan machines. And I should point out, they will be counted either correctly or incorrectly. No one will know. Bev Harris, that's just about it, isn't it?
I did really want to hit what's very, you know, clear and present danger for this coming election.
Good.
Ballot stuffing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know in 2008 that somebody was driving around delivering new blank ballots, extra blank ballots, to these different sites. And you called, I believe, the Secretary of State, who denied that it was the official ballots that were going out. Who knows who was doing this? That's dangerous because that allows people to plug more votes into those voting machines than there are voters. Now, we know that there were more votes than voters in at least two locations. In Swansea, there were 1,500 votes, but only 1,000 voters. It's a 50% increase.
Right.
And in Barnstead, there were 1,200 votes, but only 900 voters.
Was there ever an explanation for that?
No, there weren't. There wasn't. But that's a classic, and by the way, that is something a candidate can pretty much take to court and win on, you know, when you have something like that. Well, the check and balance for vote stuffing, which is what we're talking about there. Mm-hmm. And remember, you know, if you just put extra ballots through a machine, it could count correctly, but you got extra ballots.
Right.
The check and balance is reporting the number of voters and reporting the number of votes.
Right.
Now, RSA, which is a law, 659:73 in New Hampshire, requires just that. It says the election return form shall be submitted on paper and electronically immediately after the completion of the vote count to the Secretary of State. It shall include the number of voters who voted in person and the number of absentee voters and the number of votes.
Great. So we'll be able to compare how many votes there are to the number of people who voted.
Well, here's the kicker.
Yeah.
It expires. They decided to expire this requirement effective January 1st, 2012.
They decided to expire it? They're ending this so that they're not going to report how many people voted in
Correct.
Each precinct? Really?
Correct. Yes. Well, I mean, what possible sensible reason could there be to eliminate the main check and balance, which will identify ballot stuffing?
So you're saying in the primary coming up about 10 days from now, they're going to give us the results that are reported by the computer, but they're not going to tell us how many people actually voted, that there's a record of how many people actually voted?
That is correct. And some New Hampshire citizens have been very disturbed about this. So they have been contacting the Secretary of State saying, well, all it is a piece of paper. Why don't you have it submitted? And they have gotten nowhere. Now, what I really think is important, the ask, the thing to do for this is for people who are concerned about this to call the Secretary of State's office directly and say that we would like RSA 659:73, doesn't even matter. We want that report. We want to know how many people voted. We want to know it immediately.
That's the Secretary
so
of State.
We can compare, right?
William Gardner in New Hampshire. Bev, we didn't even have time. That's disturbing news. We're going to get back to that, I suspect, after the first of the year.
Right.
And also, we didn't even get to talk about what some concerns that people may actually be switching voting machines entirely.
Oh, yeah, that's an interesting one.
Yeah, well, I'll try to talk about it in the next hour, but I got to run to a break. So, Bev Harris from blackboxvoting.org, hope you've been getting plenty of sleep lately, Bev. I think you're going to need
goodness.
It.
It's going to be a busy year.
Yeah, I hope not. Okay, thanks, Bev. Appreciate it, and have a happy new year.
All right. Thanks, Brad.
You bet. Okay, when we come back, your calls at 877-520-1150. A quick visit from our friend Ernie Canning and much more on our final hour of the year on The Mike Malloy Show. Brad, in for Mike. Welcome back. It is our last hour of the year live here on the Mike Malloy Show. Glad you could join us. No, I'm not Mike. I'm not Mike Malloy. I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow, and tonight, once again, your guest host, broadcasting from the left coast, Mike Malloy, will be back with you next Monday, particularly for you folks up there in San Francisco. I know it's a holiday on Monday, but he's coming back just to be with you, because after Monday, Green 960, the Clear Channel station up there in San Francisco, changes a little bit from Green 960 to the new 960. It's got a lot of the progressives still there, but they're just many of them displaced and moved to later and delayed. Stephanie Miller fans in the morning will wake up to a big surprise when they hear Glenn Beck in her place. And she'll be moved to later at night when Mike is usually live. And then Tom Hartman will also be moved because Dave Ramsey will be in his place. And then Mike Malloy will be shuffled off into the wee hours of the morning. Instead of live on the West Coast, 6 to 9 p.m., he'll now be on delay from 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. And you won't even get to hear the third hour. So this is your, well, no, Monday will be your last chance to hear the third hour of the Mike Malloy Show, unless something changes up there. And if it does, that would be great. And we encourage you to be polite and let them know that you'd like your Mike Malloy live for all 3 hours. Our phone number, which we will get back to momentarily, is 877-520-1150. If you'd like to use your public airwaves here, anything we've been talking about tonight, anything else that's on your mind as we move forward into the new year, we'd love to hear from you. 877-520-1150. We will get to your calls momentarily. Some quick business here. As I say, always, you can chat me on you can Twitter me at the Brad Blog tonight, tomorrow, any other time. You can also stop by the chat room that we have open at bradblog.com tonight, which is really crowded for the bradblog.com chat room. And we've got a lot of friends stopping by in the last night of the year. Great to see all of the folks from Nicole Sandler's RadioOrNot.com network. I see a Left Neck Chick is in there. Danielle, Kenny Pick is joining us. Shano from Funked Into Head. They're all in there. Great to see you guys there. Thanks for coming by. And stop by and say hello to them if you're listening out across our fruited plains tonight. Any other business I got to do before I get on? No, that's it. The call's 877-520-1150. And, okay, we're checking in, as I say, with some of our friends. We've talked already to Desi Doyen tonight. Bev Harris, who's getting ready for the voting to begin and the nightmares along with it that I don't think either of us are really looking forward to. A great chance now to check in with my good friend and a great attorney and a great writer from bradblog.com, my friend Ernest A. Canning joins us tonight to touch base on what we can look forward to in the year ahead. You know, all these shows, end of the year, they look back. We, like Barack Obama, we're not looking back, we're looking forward. How's that? Hey, Ernie Canning, welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Hey, good end of the year to you, Brad.
Thank you, sir. Now, listen, I know that you're already working on some stories to come in the years ahead, and I want to in the year ahead, and I want to get to some of what we might expect from you. But let me just take this opportunity, Ernie, to thank you publicly for the extraordinary work that you've done at BradBlog over the past year. I know that you were not a writer by trade, but an attorney by trade, but your crack legal analysis and in-depth contextual reports have been absolutely invaluable at the BradBlog. And anybody who hasn't read Ernie and his work at BradBlog.com is really missing out. You've given just tremendous insight to so much of the news we've seen over the past year, elements of it which are not covered by the corporate mainstream media. So I just wanted to thank you, sir, for that great work over the past year.
You're too kind.
I am. But anyway, I do mean it. Now, moving forward, my friend, what can we look forward to in the new year? I know you've been working on some of these photo ID laws that are going to affect voters and what the pushback may be in this new year.
Well, it may very well be that the coming year will be the year that democracy pushes back against the people that have been trying to destroy it and are at war with it. And if people would go and read some of the articles which we covered at BradBlog that you won't find on the mainstream media, particularly the U.S. Senate hearings on these spate of GOP voter suppression laws that don't just involve photo ID, but also making it more difficult to register to vote and making it more difficult for your vote to count, all of which have been generated by the Koch brothers-funded group, the American Legislative Exchange Council.
ALEC, yes.
ALEC. And the interesting thing is that there seems to be a major multiple-pronged defense, and my new article will be addressing where I think the Department of Justice, and interestingly enough, it's not the Democratic Party, but it's non-affiliated groups, non-partisan groups like the ACLU, the League of Women Voters, who are filing lawsuits trying to roll back this voter suppression, this wave of voter suppression, and also, outside of the Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act, which, as you know, covers a number of southern states and elsewhere. My feeling is that what they need to do, and in fact, in some instances they have, for example, in Florida, the League of Women Voters has intervened in a lawsuit that was filed by the state of Florida to try and get around Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act and try and get their new draconian registration laws approved.
Registration laws which have forced the League of Women Voters, who has been registering voters there for like 70 years down in Florida, has forced 73 years, has forced them to call off their registration program because they are concerned they can't take the fines that they may be levied with. We're talking about thousands of dollars because they put in these insane restrictions on the way voter registration can happen. You have to be, signed up with the state. You have to turn them in 5 minutes after you get them. They've literally brought charges against school teachers in Florida since this law has passed. School teachers for registering students to vote. It's amazing what we're seeing. So the League of Women Voters is now joining in the suit to push back in Florida. And
well, they actually have a separate lawsuit too that they filed, but yes, what they did was they successfully got a motion to intervene in the case that was filed by Florida in the U.S. District Court in D.C. And so they are arguing there. We have basically there are instances where citizens themselves are able to fight back, for example, in Ohio and in Maine, where the Republicans were attempting to limit either same-day registration or other voter suppression efforts. In those particular states, you had basically a citizen's veto power in effect.
And they were able to vote. Actually, I got a piece of news that I hadn't covered. Let me just hit this real quick, Ernie, on that main voting rights case where you had the Republicans come in and roll back. They had same-day voter registration, so you could vote, you register and vote on Election Day up there in Maine. It had worked very well for 40 years. The Republicans came in, rolled it back this year, and said, nope, we're not going to have that anymore. By the way, they still allow that to happen in Iowa, where the Republicans run the election. But, you know, anyway, when Democrats are going to be voting, the Republicans were against it in Maine. And yet everyone stood up this last November and defeated this measure. 60-40 vetoed the Republicans' attempt to take away this cherished tradition out there, being able to register and vote in the same day. So in literally every county where this was on the ballot across the state, the measure was defeated. And by 60-40, Maine voters said, no, we want to keep it as it is. But now we learned this week at Think Progress that the money in that campaign to get rid of those voting rights, actually, $250,000, according to Think Progress, was funneled into the race for ad buys, you know, supporting killing this same-day registration and voting business. And, you know, ironically enough, they were saying, oh, your right to vote is at stake, when, in fact, they were, you know, trying to kill your right to register and vote on the same day. Oh, and here's what this was, this group who was putting all this money, this outside money, trying to kill Maine same-day registration. It's called the American Justice Partnership. And on their website, it states, that they are, quote, fighting against the scheming George Soros money machine, which is trying to sabotage your right to vote. That's what the group was saying, who was trying to kill your right to register and vote in Maine, in a whole different state. They're saying that George Soros' money machine was trying to sabotage your right to vote. Oh, the irony and hypocrisy never ends. That was Maine. But now, Ernie Canning, people are pushing back. Lawsuits are being filed. ACLU has filed a suit up in Wisconsin, pushing back against the photo ID law up there that's been put in place by the Republicans. And you have said that that could, in fact, lead to rolling back all of these photo ID laws across the country if that case successfully makes it to the Supreme Court, correct?
Well, yes, because the critical thing, and a lot of people don't understand, with regard to the Crawford decision, which was Crawford versus Marion County Board of Elections, the Indiana case, that was everybody looks at it and says, oh, well, the Supreme Court said that photo ID is just fine. Actually, they didn't. What happened was that case involved what's called a facial challenge. In other words, the plaintiffs in that case said, if you look at the statute on its face, it violates the right to equal protection. And the problem was that ended up with a court that divided into three different groups of three justices, and the lead opinion basically said that because you didn't offer any evidence that even a single individual in Indiana would be denied the right to vote, and or that their vote would be unduly burdened by the requirements, they upheld the statute. But they made it clear that if you in fact had instances of extensive, you know, voters losing their right to vote, or that the vote was unduly burdened, that the result could be different.
Could be different.
And what you have in the Wisconsin case is you have basically six categories of people where they are either it's impossible to get the photo ID, or it is inordinately expensive. Sometimes if you're talking about people that are impoverished, you're talking about they're trying to pay for the underlying documents, even though the photo ID is supposedly free. You have, for example,
actually, Ernie,
Ruth L. Frank.
And I don't want to get into the examples because I'm running up hard against the clock. But that case, in short, presents people who are being disenfranchised where the original case in Indiana didn't. And if it's successful in Wisconsin, it may have an effect on all of these other laws across the country. And I know you're working on a story that shows how the justice Justice Department themselves could actually push back against these laws in other states that aren't covered by the Voting Rights Act Section 5, but Section 2, which has a higher bar to bring a case, that may, in fact, they may be able to make a difference there. We'll go into more of that in the new year. You can look forward to that at bradblog.com. Ernest A. Canning, thank you, my friend. We'll get into this more soon, and have a very happy new year.
You too, Brad.
Appreciate all you've done. All right, when we come back, your calls, 877-520-1150. It's time to get in line, 877-520-1150. Your last chance for this year. Brad in for Malloy.
There's got to be another way. Take away, take away.
Well, I've been down so good. And it looks like up to me. Well, I've been down so very damn long. That it looks like up to me.
Always looking up. Brad Friedman on your Mike Malloy Show. Brad of BradBlog.com coming into our final half hour here. Before the new year, well, at least a final half hour of the old year, 877-520-1150, that's our phone number here tonight. Mike will be back with you on Monday. If you'd like to get in and use your public airwaves, your last chance here in 2011, now is the time. 877-520-1150. Do I have time? Let me see if I can get to, can I get to a quick call? I can get to a quick call. Because it's our friend Kenny Peck. Hey, Kenny, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir. Do I have him on? Oh, wait, let me try that again. There we go. Hey, Kenny, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Well, hello, Brad Friedman. I love the show. It's such a pleasure to hear your voice over the airwaves.
You're very kind, and it's always your show, which, not, go ahead, plug your show, because, you know, up in San Francisco, they're not going to be able to listen to Mike Malloy's show at the same time, so they might as well tune into radioornot.com and listen to the Kenny Pick. It's just the Kenny Pick show, right?
Sure, well, you know, it's Turn Up the Night with Kenny Pick.
Turn Up the Night, there you go.
KennyPick.com, but I actually have a kind of a fun story for you.
Can you tell it in 30 seconds?
I can. Every time I go and vote in Ohio here, I'm in Cleveland, Ohio, I take the bare minimum ID, which is a check stub or a bill. And every time I go in, they challenge me and they say, where's your ID? And I said, hey, guess what? Check with the Secretary of State. This is the bare, you know, minimum ID that I the state requires.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they always try and challenge me on it. But you know what? I'm challenging them every time I take that in.
Attaboy, way to go! Know your local laws. You do not need a photo ID in Cleveland, Ohio. Same thing actually happened, by the way, in Missouri, where they challenged the Secretary of State, who said, "No, trust me, I really don't need to give you a photo ID."
Yeah.
Kenny, I got to run to a break. Thanks for calling in, and happy New Year, my friend. Great to hear from
Same you.
Thank
you.
Thank you, brother. More calls straight ahead on the Malloy Show.
It might be 1 o'clock and it might be 3. Time don't mean that much to me.
Well, they're building a gallows outside my cell, and I've got 25 minutes to go. And the whole town's waiting just to hear me yell. I got 24 minutes to go.
24 minutes to go.
Well, they gave me some beans.
That's all we got. That's all we got on your public airwaves right here on the Mike Malloy Show, live on New Year's Eve Eve. So now's your chance to get in if you want. 877-520-1150. The last Malloy Show. The last broadcast of this godforsaken year. Before we go into the next godforsaken year. Okay, 877-520-1150. If you want to get in, we'd love to hear from you. Anything you want to talk about, whether we've talked about it tonight, ourselves, or anything else you want to toss in, use your public airwaves before you lose them entirely And yes, I'm talking to you, Green 960 in San Francisco. Randy in Clear Lake, California. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir. What is on? Oh, did I miss it again? There we go. What is on your mind, Randy?
Hey.
Hey.
It's Randy. I'm just curious about this whole ID thing. Help me out here. Now, I just got back from going out to the East Coast,
mm-hmm.
and I had to have an ID.
Yeah.
To get on the airplane.
No,
okay.
You didn't. No, you didn't.
Well, I don't know. They asked me for one.
Right. They asked you for one, and you gave them one, but you did not have to have one to get on that plane. Did you know that?
Well, you know what? If I didn't have one, they would certainly make it a lot tougher.
Right.
Now, hear me out, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's the deal.
Yeah.
Is that I noticed I actually ran one of the polls here in California years
mm-hmm.
ago.
Yeah.
And people would come up with some IDs that were very questionable as far as it wasn't a physical ID. It was an
uh-huh.
address.
Right.
And nobody had to say anything. My whole
right.
thing is.
Because that's the law, right? Randy, hang on.
You know what?
Randy.
Oh, wait, no. I'm
not cutting you off. I just want to respond to you, Randy, because that's the law in California. There's all kinds of different types of identification that are perfectly acceptable.
Okay, now hear me out. Okay, all I'm saying is that doesn't it make sense to reduce voter fraud just to have somebody show a picture of who they are?
What voter fraud?
How would that disenfranchise
Randy.
Someone?
Randy.
How would somebody be disenfranchised
Randy.
For not showing an ID?
Randy. What? I'll answer that question in a second, but answer mine. What voter fraud are you talking about?
I don't know. I'm saying to eliminate the chance of voter fraud.
To eliminate the chance.
I mean,
okay.
You guys, a minute ago, you guys had a commercial on.
Okay. Let me respond to you, Randy. Okay. Randy, hang on. Randy, I got limited time. Turn him down for a second. Randy, I want to have a conversation with you, but I got limited time here. So, what voter fraud? For one, George W. Bush, Bush administration, the Department of Justice put in unprecedented number of dollars into this, and from 2005.
Oh, hey, you know what?
Randy, hang on, Randy. Turn him down. 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 Okay, Randy.
Here, pal.
Randy, I'm answering your question, and then you get to talk. Now, from 2005 to 2009, the Bush administration, 2007, the Bush administration put in unprecedented resources into showing voter fraud. And in fact, they were able to show zero instances of polling place impersonation voter fraud, the type that photo ID is meant to stop. Furthermore, so the incidents of voter fraud are almost non-existent via polling place photo impersonation. Second of all, your comment about your airplane, you're not required to have a photo ID to get on the plane. And furthermore, getting on a plane is not a right. It is a privilege. A constitutional right to vote is not like a privilege to get on a plane. Thirdly, you ask me, what's the problem? How are you going to disenfranchise people? Well, one example is of the registered voters out there who don't have photo ID, 25% of them are minorities, are African-American, 15% are Hispanic, and only 8% are white. Now, do you think that that would cause any one group to be more disenfranchised than any other, Randy?
Okay, now let me just ask you without being
answer the question. Just answer the question.
Okay.
Do you think that would cause one group to be more disenfranchised than any other group, Randy?
Well, yes, it would.
Which
if
group?
If they are intelligent enough to get an ID,
which
then maybe
group?
They shouldn't be voting.
Okay.
How's
thanks,
that?
Randy. Appreciate
that's
your call.
Sense,
you blew
ass.
It. Oh, you blew it. Hang them up. All right. Dump them. There we go. Did you get it? All right. Randy, I'm so sorry you couldn't make your case intelligently with facts and figures, and you had to fall back instead on language that we can't allow on the air. Way to go, Randy. Anyway, go out there and educate yourself, and if you don't want to, that's okay. I'll fight for your country, your democracy, and your constitution, even if you won't. Okay, let me get to a call. Can I go to a call here, Tom? All right, let me get to Mike in Burlington, Iowa. Hey, Mike, welcome
it's
to the Mike Malloy Show.
Clovis, Iowa.
Where's that?
the black hole that is Iowa.
No, it's not a black hole at all. It's very exciting. It's a great contest that's going on out there, a great exercise in democracy in Iowa. Not a circus at all, no matter what Tony, our engineer, has to say. There we go.
Neither one had free cookies.
No free cookies in Iowa?
No free cookies.
Okay. All right.
Republicans, no free cookies.
No, that's a rip-off.
With your previous caller do you know how many times the right to bear arms is listed in the Constitution?
Once, isn't it?
Yeah. Do you know how many times the right to vote is listed as the right to vote?
As the right to vote, zero.
Probably about five.
Well, I was going to say actually zero in a sense, but
five times in the amendments.
Five times in the amendments. Okay, yeah. Fair enough. Okay. Yeah. Well, how many times is your right to fly on a commercial airplane listed in the Constitution?
None,
yeah.
I would point out to the previous caller that 40 years ago, when I used to go get driver's licenses, there was no photo ID on those.
Well, that's right.
Photo ID is not required by the Constitution and not mentioned in the Constitution because when the Constitution was written, nobody knew about photographs.
So you're saying Thomas Jefferson did not have a photo ID when he cast his...
No, Thomas Jefferson didn't have a photo ID. Ben Franklin and John Adams had to know him by sight.
I can't believe it. I don't understand that. That makes no sense.
And it's like this. Yes. You're Officer Brad, and I'm driving my Bill Cosby 200-mile-an-hour car down the freeway, and you pull me over, and you take my driver's license, and then you demand of me to see my library card.
I don't understand.
Because I can't drive without a library card because some clown in some state made that a law.
Okay. I'm not sure I understand that comparison, but...
Well, why do you need to have a driver's license to go vote, which has nothing to do with voting, if you don't need a library card to drive your car?
To drive your car. Yeah, no, it's completely arbitrary. And since you're in Iowa, if you don't know this, we broke this yesterday at bradblog.com, Mike. Mm-hmm. Republicans who run those Iowa caucuses, right? They don't have to do it constitutionally. They don't have to follow the rule of law. They get to make all the rules about how they want to run their own caucuses out there in Iowa, and the Republican Party has decided that no photo ID is necessary to cast your vote in the all-important first-in-the-nation caucuses on Tuesday.
They don't have it in Democratic ones either.
I know they don't have it in
Democratic. And in the Democratic ones, you can walk in, and the Republicans should go to the Democratic ones because they can walk in with a little sheet of paper calling for
but here's my point, Mike.
Obama, and it could be discussed at the county conventions.
But Mike, you may have missed my point. My point is that the Republicans in the Iowa State House voted for photo ID restrictions on citizens, and thankfully it didn't pass because of the it was stopped in the Senate. But they want it when everyone else is voting, when Democrats are going to be voting, they wanted photo ID. But when they have a chance to run their own election with any rules they want, apparently they're not so concerned about voter fraud, quote unquote, after all, because nobody who votes next Tuesday will be required to show a photo ID, and that's even if they're registering and voting for the first time in the caucus.
Got that. But the other thing is, like, your 96-year-old woman that couldn't get a photo ID.
Right, yeah.
If they want a photo ID that badly, they can do that. They can have her walk in to vote, hand them her little voter registration card, have her sit down, take a photo of her, hold the voter registration card, and as she goes to vote, makes up a photo ID right there at the poll.
Yeah, but they won't do that
because
they don't want that little old lady to vote. Not
because
of the cost, because they don't want the little old lady to vote. Mike, I got to get running, but I appreciate your call, and have a happy new year, and good luck next Tuesday up there in Iowa, okay?
Yeah, it's going to be a mess.
It will indeed. Let's get to Tammy in Los Angeles. Hey, Tammy, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. What's on your mind, Tammy?
Oh, a lot. For one thing, I'm wondering if the occupiers are kind of missing the elephant in the room.
Yeah, what's that?
Because all the Wall Street corruption is directly connected and fueled by all the corruption in the government.
Okay.
Don't you think?
Well,
look at the bailout. The number was actually $12 trillion to the banks.
So this is a chicken and an egg thing. You're saying, is Wall Street corrupt because the government is corrupt, or is the government corrupt because Wall Street is corrupting them? Is that
at least the government's condoning it.
Well, yeah, they're condoning it. They're, of course, and that's the problem here. We're talking about crony corporatism. We're talking right. about a government system that is no longer for, by, for, and of the people. It is now by, for, and of the corporations. They fund all of the elections, mm-hmm. which should be illegal. Therefore, they buy every single government official, Republican and Democrat. They have to go out, I think a senator has to go out and raise something like $20,000 each day just to be able to compete in an election. It is insane. It is obscene. It has turned our country over to corporations under this guise that they are people, which they are not. It's a joke. It's laughable. And it is something that every American in this country ought to be out in the streets raising holy hell about, whether you're an occupier, whether you're a Tea Partier. This has got to stop. It has destroyed our country. It has destroyed every single element of our government. And it's a pervasive cancer that must be stopped, Tammy.
Well, you know, the other thing is that security resolution, national security resolution.
The National Defense Authorization Act. Yeah.
And Obama was going to veto it unless they added in and the American people.
Sort of. He was going to veto it if there was an exemption that said that the American people cannot be held without due process. And when they got rid of that, he said, okay, that's fine. Now, as long as I can hold American people without due process, I'm cool on that. Yeah.
That's outrageous.
Yeah, it is. It is. That's what we have allowed this country to become. We can get on here and yell and scream about it, but most places you won't hear it because most of these public airwaves have been taken over by gigantic corporations
yes.
That deny you and I the right to have this discussion. This is a very rare discussion, Tammy, and they are disappearing across this country. I got to go to a break, but I do appreciate your call. Thanks for checking in.
Thank you so much.
You bet, and Happy New Year. To you. All right, we're going to come back with a few more of your calls. Last chance, last call, 877-520-1150. Man, the year's over. That's it. It's over. It's over. And our last few moments on Green 960 up there in San Francisco. We're going to miss you guys live. Hope you'll be back soon live up there. Mike Malloy will rejoin you Monday for one last live moment in the Bay Area on Green 960. 877-520-1150. We'll be back with a few more minutes right after this.
It seems like years since it's been here. Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun. I say it's all right.
Maybe it's much too early in the game. But I thought I'd ask you just the same. What are you doing, new?
Welcome back. Our final minutes of 2011 on the Mike Malloy Show. If you're on the phone, hang on. I'll try to get to you as soon as I can here. Just want to make sure I have time to give my thanks tonight to our producer and guest, Desi Doyen, and call screener and chat room moderator. Thanks, Desi. For a great show and a great year of shows and everything else you do. My thanks also to the other moderators and folks in the chat room. Dale, Earthy, Jeannie Dean may be there tonight for Earth. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you all the folks who are in the chat room at bradblog.com. And for all the listeners who have been so supportive of me here in Mike's place. These are large shoes to fill. So I thank you for that, the support you've given us over the last year. Thanks also to the greatest engineer in the whole wide world, Tony Sorrentino. Your long nightmare of a week is almost over. You'll get to sleep this weekend. Also, who else do I need to thank? My guests, other guests tonight, Bev Harris of blackboxvoting.org, Ernie Canning of bradblog.com, of course, and to Mike and Kathy Malloy for entrusting me with this job here when they can't make it. They will be back with you live on Monday, for especially for you folks up there in San Francisco. Before we get back to the phones, very quick, this is for Chris in Santa Cruz, who couldn't hold. Her house is being foreclosed on, and she and her husband will be living in their car, she tells us. We didn't get to your call, and we lost you earlier. So we wanted to make sure Desi looked this up and asks you to contact the Occupy Foreclosure people at notohousingcrime.org. That's notohousingcrime.org. Or email us at the Brad blog, and we'll try to give you a phone number if you can't get it. That's Chris in Santa Cruz. You guys who may have to live in your car, we'd like to help. notohousingcrime.org hopefully can help you. Okay. All business out of the way? Very good. Let me, we're going to have to fly through these calls in the few seconds we have left, but let's give it a shot. Adam in Carpentersville, Illinois, back in near my hood. I'm from St. Louis. So, hey, Adam, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Hey, Brett, thanks for having me. I'll try not to keep people off.
Okay, thanks.
You know, so I just wanted to real quickly discuss this format change for Green 960.
Yeah.
I think this kind of proves what people like I have been saying for the longest time, which is it's not about ratings. It's about creating this illusion of conservative domination. You know, I mean, because if it was about ratings, they wouldn't be touching Green 960. There's no way there's demand for Glenn Beck in San Francisco.
Well, that's right. I mean, it's actually the station is doing quite well, is doing as well as KNEW, the right-wing station that is also owned by Clear Channel, which means there's no real competition between those two stations. But
this is about helping Mitt Romney, I think. This is about, you know, shoring him up in election year. Because, I mean, look, Clear Channel is owned by Bain.
Yep.
Mitt Romney is from Bain. I mean, 2 + 2 still equals 4 last I checked. So,
well, it may be. I have not found any direct evidence of this. And some folks up there in San Francisco don't think it's political. Others do. But I think it's certainly going to be disappointing to the people who enjoy their progressive talk, because it's hard to find anywhere else on the dial in San Francisco.
Thanks for having me tonight. And Happy New Year to you. And thank you for your support on Occupy.
Thank you.
I wasn't on when you were, but I was a part of it. So
nobody was. It was 3 a.m. out here. Thanks, Adam. I appreciate the call. Happy New Year's to you, my friend. Oh, I'm sorry. And let me get to, do we have time? Danielle, it's Left Neck Chick, also from the Radio or Not Network. Hey, Danielle, I only got about 10 seconds for you. I'm sorry.
No problem, Brad. I just wanted to say thank you for occupying the airwaves, and thank you for reminding everybody that these are our airwaves, and we need to fight to get them back. You and Desi do a great job.
Well, you're damn right about our airwaves. I really appreciate that, Danielle. Happy New Year to you, all right?
Happy New Year.
All right, and let me see. Oh, look, I'm going to do this. You got 5 seconds each. Don in Reno, welcome to the Malloy Show. Go.
This is Don. Brad, I want to give you and your listeners a holiday greeting. May the next coming orbit around the sun be amazing and magnificent for all of us.
I will take it. Thank you for those wishes, Don. All right, and for everyone we couldn't get to, I'm sorry, but Happy New Year to you all. Thank you all for tuning in. Thank you all for a great year. If you missed any portion of the show, we'll have it up at bradblog.com tonight, although you should have a podcast subscription to MikeMalloy.com. Help support Progressive Radio before it's gone. We need you guys. Thank you for being here as you have all year long. Until we meet again, I'll see you at on Twitter at the Brad Blog and at BradBlog.com. Good night, America. Happy New Year.